Hey there, everybody. It is Wednesday, October 19th, 2011, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line at thisshowissogay@aol.com. Of course, every email gets answered, you silly goose, you. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun goings-ons with our dog and pony little gay radio show. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, click like, like us, we like you, and we're off for this week's show. So you've heard me say quite a bit over the past couple weeks that this month is our 3-year anniversary of This Show Is So Gay, and so proud that we're at this point. Haven't made a huge deal about it, except to, you know, mention it every other second, every opportunity, because I was gearing up for this week's show. We are not coming at you from Brattleboro, Vermont, our normal broadcasting home. Instead, we are down in Montvale, New Jersey, right outside of New York City, visiting with two very special guests. One of those special guests, it has taken me 3 years to get on this show. And you're going to find out a little bit later who that is. So very big deal for us here at This Show Is So Gay. Very exciting. But first, before we get to our very special guest, we're going to do some news for you. Got a lot of news to cover this week. And I am flying solo until our guests come on a little bit later. So this is just me catching you up on the news. And you get to hear what I think about it. Enjoy that. Vandalism. We're starting out with some vandalism. A couple stories about vandalism. One is over in San Francisco. Police say a brass plaque honoring slain San Francisco supervisor and Ken Schneck's hero, Harvey Milk, was stolen from the city's Castro neighborhood sometime this past weekend. The San Francisco Chronicle reports that the 3-foot by 2-foot plaque, in place for almost 3 decades, had been housed outside the gates of the Castro Muni station in Harvey Milk Plaza. Supervisor Scott Weiner said, quote, "The plaque is an iconic part of the history of this neighborhood. It really means a lot to this community. Whoever took it, I just ask that you return it. No questions asked, and let us put it back up." Removing the plaque, which had been bolted into cement, was probably not an easy task, said police spokesman Sergeant Michael Andrejczak. He said, quote, "Something that size, it would have taken some time and effort to remove, and possibly more than one person to move it. Because photos of Harvey Milk adjacent to the plaque weren't stolen or disfigured, the theft is not considered to be an anti-gay gesture." So please return the plaque. Please return the plaque. Over in North Carolina, officials at North Carolina State University are investigating vandalism at the school's Center for Gay and Lesbian Students. School officials say someone spray-painted threats on the door and glass-encased billboard at the center. School spokesman Keith Nichols says no arrests have been made. The Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Center is located in a classroom and office complex that is also the temporary home of the Student Government Association and the campus bookstore, while another building is being renovated. The center's director, Justine Hollingshead, said it appears the crime was motivated by hate. Justine would not say if police are investigating this as a hate crime. So, if you took the plaque, the Harvey Milk plaque, return the damn Harvey Milk plaque. If you vandalized this North Carolina State University Center for Gay and Lesbian Students, you're a coward. I think that you're a coward in either one. If you, truly, if you are motivated by hate to take a plaque to vandalize a center, an LGBT center, without claiming responsibility, I hereby dub you a coward. I would so much rather you stand in people's face and say the horrible things that you're thinking than be so cowardly as to deface other people's property. So that's what I have to say about that. Cowards. That was a lot for you, huh? I'll keep going. Over in Connecticut, a group of Connecticut students objected to 2 male actors kissing on stage during a visiting production of Xana Don't, a musical shown in Connecticut high schools as part of anti-bullying campaign. It has now sparked walkouts after 2 male cast members kissed on stage. CBS Connecticut reports that students at Hartford High School left a visiting production of Xana Don't on the 14th of October, objecting to its depiction of homosexuality on stage. The musical, if you do not know, Xana Don't? You should download Xana Don't. I actually saw Xana Don't off-Broadway. But the musical is set in a school in which gay relationships are openly accepted, but heterosexual relationships take place more covertly. Now here's the thing. Principal Adam Johnson told CBS, quote, "There was a public walkout by a bunch of students, mostly male. It was visually evident, due to the jerseys the team was wearing, that a lot of football players, got up and walked out. It was almost a symbolic kind of thing, end quote. The principal said that students had been informed of the musical's content. After concerns were raised by students, parents, and a teacher at the school, the principal took the decision to not remove the kiss. Some students decided not to attend the performance. Others were excused from school by parents. So this is Xanadone. I don't know. I kind of laugh when I hear about Xanadone. I know most of the words to Xanadone. I don't know. If this story had said that they objected to Xanadone on a textual basis because of the score and some of the lyrics, we would be having a different conversation, and I might support that. There's some questionable. It's not about taste. It's just about skill there in Xanadone. Even though I will say, because I don't want to get any angry emails from anyone who had anything to do with the creation of Xanadone. So do not send me an angry email about the creation of Xanadone and me knocking it, because I know every single word. But my gosh, it's not the greatest musical. That said, they did try to let students know, hey, this is what this musical is about. And I assume that the school was going to be having some sort of talk back afterwards, that their anti-bullying campaign wasn't just showing Xanadone. I am sure of that. And I don't even see that in the story, but I am positive that that is not the entirety of their anti-bullying campaign. So Xanadone causing walkouts, apparently helping to decrease the amount of bullying. And you would know why I'm laughing if you actually download it. So go download Xanadone, support it, but then come back and listen to the story, and you'll know why I'm laughing. So that's what's going on in school news. Let's see. Let's do some political news. We'll do some political news. Lawyers for a House of Representatives group. This is hilarious. I think this story, I really need to come up with some sort of sound effect for the funniest story of the week, because whatever that sound effect is, it is this story. Lawyers for a House of Representatives group defending the constitutionality of the Defense of Marriage Act say that gays and lesbians are too politically powerful to be eligible for the same protections given racial minorities and women. Growing support for openly gay political candidates, the passage of a marriage equality bill in New York, and the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell were cited by the lawyers in a legal brief regarding a case involving domestic partner benefits and a federal employee. So this is the new argument. It's not that LGBT folks do not deserve marriage equality because of biblical reasons or social norms or whatever it might be. It would be because we're too politically powerful. So we can't have the same rights as everyone else because we're too politically powerful, and we can't be compared to other minorities because we're more powerful than them. I mean, that is, you almost have to step back and say, well, gosh, that was pretty creative. Also, you must be kidding me. So that's what's going on the DOMA front. Unbelievable. Over in Washington State, I just got to move quickly on from that story because it's just so ridiculous. Over in Washington State officials have released the names of the 138,000 signers of a petition aimed at blocking a 2009 domestic partnership law. The move came after a recent court decision just this week rejected a request to keep the list from public view. And this is a quote from Anne Levinson, chairwoman of the Washington Families Standing Together group. She said, quote, had the court agreed that these ballot measure petitions could be kept secret because the referendum sponsors were bothered by some who voiced opposition to their point of view, it would have set a terrible precedent for future elections. So people are really upset about this. Folks are saying, well, that's not fair. If they knew that their names were going to become public after they signed this petition, they never would have signed it. That's just a load of bunk. There's just no way that that's true. I think that people aren't thinking through things enough to think, okay, I might be on the side of this that is not in favor of public opinion. And so maybe by signing this, my name might come out later and this might look bad for me in my workplace or perhaps my family who I didn't tell I signed this petition. I'm just making up a whole scenario on why someone signed a petition aimed at blocking domestic partnership law and is now upset that their name is coming out. So maybe this is just our learning opportunity. Maybe we just need to be thinking, folks, when we sign a petition, our name could potentially be put out there. Let's just keep that in mind. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. We are going to play a little music for you. And then when we come back, the guest, it took me 3 years to get on this show. 3 years. We've had some incredible, we've had a ton, countless incredible, incredible guests on this show. This one, 3 years. Enjoy the music. We'll be right back.
Well, I was walking down the hall, just beginning my day, when I see this guy, and he's coming my way. My heart starts thumping and my hands start to sweat. This is the closest thing to heaven that I'm ever gonna get. I sit in class dreaming with a smile on my face. The teacher calls on me, but I'm still floating in space. And she hands me back my quiz and I see all the things I missed. And she asks what the explanation is. I say, well, it looks like love and it sounds like love and it seems like love and it feels like love. Like love and it walks, like love and it talks, like love and it runs, like love and it skips, like love and it hurts, like love disappoints, like love disappears, like love reappears, like love and it shouts, like love and it sings, like love. So guess what, my friend, I think I got love.
You think you got love?
I think I got love.
Yeah, you think you got love.
Yeah, it might be love.
You think it could be love.
I think it could be love.
Man, I hope it's love. 'Cause at the game, I looked up at the crowd and thought I saw this guy who was looking at me, though I could not imagine why. My head started spinning and it just kept getting worse. And so right after the game, I headed straight down to the nurse. She said, you don't have a fever, you don't have the flu. I don't think you're pregnant, so I don't have a clue. But then she checked my heart, it was purring like a cat. And she smiled and said, I think I know what causes that. She said, it looks like love, and it sounds like love, and it seems like love, and it feels like love, and it walks like love, and it talks like love, and it runs like love, and it skips like love, and it hurts like love disappoints, like love disappears, like love reappears, like love, and it shouts like love, and it sings like love. So guess what, my friend, she said, I think you got love.
She thought you got love.
She said it could be love.
The nurse thought you got love.
Yeah, I just came from her a minute ago and she said it was love.
I think it could be love.
She said it could be love.
Man, I hope you got love. I knew the first moment I saw you.
Really? I didn't know for sure till you started singing a few minutes ago. Up until then, I don't think I knew what love was.
You mean you never?
No, never. You know, being on the football team is not like being on the chess team. We're not the sex symbols that you guys are.
Oh, well, we're really not sex symbols.
Oh, yeah, right. I never thought that someone like you would go for someone like me.
Ditto.
Well, it looks like love, and it sounds like love, and it seems like love, and it feels like love, and it walks like love, and it talks like love, and it runs like love, and it skips like love, and it hurts like love disappoints, like love disappears, like love reappears, like love, and it shouts like love, and it sings like love. So guess what, my friend, I think we got love. I think we got love. I think we got love.
All right, and we are back. Hey, wait a second, lady in front of me, why is it that you look like my mother, Terry Schneck?
Because I'm your mom.
You are my mom. Terry Schneck, welcome to this show. It's so gay. It's your first time. 3 years of this show. It took me this long, and I had to go all the way to New Jersey to get you on the show.
You certainly did.
Are you happy to be here?
Absolutely.
Are you a little nervous?
Very.
Why?
I just am.
Okay. We'll work through that. We'll work through that. And then later on in the show, I think we're going to get Barry on the show.
Lucky you.
Lucky. Wow. How long have you been married?
43 years.
It's been like 43 years?
Absolutely.
What is the secret?
We love each other.
That's it?
And we are each other's best friends.
Look at that. In 43 years.
Absolutely.
Oh, that makes me feel good. All right. Well, there's a ton of news to talk about. Are you ready to talk about some gay news?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, you want to do sad story first?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's get that done with.
Let's get the sad story out of the way. So if folks had not heard, last week in Ottawa, Canada, Jamie Hubley, a young teen, just the latest in the string of teens who has committed suicide. Have you heard about this? It's just endless, it feels like.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. And so Jamie's father is a city councilor in Ottawa, and he issued a somber statement about the loss of his son to depression and suicide. He said his son had, quote, struggled with the idea that people can judge you harshly, even when you are trying to help others. Jamie asked a question no child should have to ask. Why do people say mean things? And I'm skipping ahead a little in the quote. To this end, after my family and I have had some time to come to terms with the loss of our beautiful son, James, I will be working hard to use my energy and public position to help bring awareness and resources to those groups working to stop the bullying and find a treatment for depression. Wendy, that's Jamie's mother, and I have asked that all the people wishing to make a donation in Jamie's memory can direct them to the Youth Services Bureau Mental Health Walk-In Clinic. Over the years, I have tried to help a lot of people, and I was very proud that my beautiful boy was also learning the joy that comes from helping others. I need time to deal with the pain of not being able to save my precious boy, and will speak more on his life and these issues later. So, school bullying, big issue, right?
Most, yes.
And you watched, did you not watch a Dr. Phil on this yesterday?
Yes, I did.
What do you remember from the Dr. Phil?
It was horrifying to see a young girl, 16 years old, afraid to go to school, petrified at the confrontations. She was bullied every single day by a group who practically attack her. Hmm. And no one stands up for her. And people cower in the corners, and they just don't come to her aid.
So that then brings up the question of parents. Because you're not a teacher, right? I mean, you are a teacher. You're a life teacher. You're my life teacher. They can't see you rolling your eyes right now, just so you know. It's radio, Mom. But you are a parent, are you not?
Yes, I am. I have four children.
Four!
And seven grandchildren.
Seven!
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a lot.
Never enough.
Is that, really? You want more?
Yes, I
do. Is there a target number in mind?
There's no target. Whatever I get, I'm happy with.
But you're hoping for double digits.
That would be fine.
Okay. So what role, did they have the parents on Dr. Phil? Were her parents on there?
Yes, they had her mother on. And her mother had come for help because her mother does not know how to handle it.
What more can parents do?
They have to stand tall for their children. They have to support them 150%. They have to take part in anything that goes on against the anti-bullying. And they have to give that child strength to carry on.
And it doesn't mean that it's always easy for parents. We're not saying that it's always easy for parents. It wasn't always easy for you with me.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, I think this would be a revelation to most of our listening audience. I was not always the easiest child.
You were always your own person.
Yeah.
Who needed to be put in their place many times.
Wow. But the coming out process is very difficult. Look, we talk endlessly on the show of how the coming out process is very difficult on the child, but it is also very difficult on the parents.
Yes, it is.
And now, and tell me, I'm not wrong in this, you've had other parents come to you and know that you have a gay son and ask you for advice.
Yes, I have. I've had good friends who have come to me when their child has come out.
What is that experience like for you?
It's hard for me to be the counselor when it just seems like yesterday that I probably needed a little counseling.
Yeah. Do you know how long ago that actually was?
I'm sure you're going to tell us.
Do you know it's like 14 years ago? Isn't that crazy?
I can't say it seems like yesterday.
Right.
But it doesn't seem like 14
years ago. 14 years ago. So parents need to be more involved. I think I was reading a story that parents, even if their children aren't that inclined to talk to them, that's where parents really need to step up and push those children even more and find out what's going on during their day.
I agree. And if the child is not speaking to them, then they have to go for professional help. They absolutely need to come out and speak to someone.
Yeah. And that must have been really difficult for you, because I was a very, very shy child. Very difficult to get. What face are you making right now? I'm just saying it was difficult to get me to talk about my day.
It wasn't difficult at all. for you to talk about your day, your life, hour by hour, and what you did. No, that was, I never found that difficult.
You never found that difficult? No. Okay. I might edit that whole part out, because, you know, I do edit out to make me look good, just so you know. All right, so there's that story. And then how about a New Jersey story? We like New Jersey stories. We're sitting in New Jersey right now.
Yes, we are. Montvale, New Jersey.
Montvale, New Jersey. One could argue 07645.
One could argue?
Yeah.
That is the zip code.
That is the zip code. Okay. So down in Union, where's Union? That's not far from here, is it?
Not that far.
It's not that far. Down in Union, gay rights activists, they are planning to protest at a school board meeting in Union County, in a Union County town, where a teacher is under investigation for allegedly posting anti-gay remarks on her Facebook page. Garden State Equality, which is the big LGBT organization here in New Jersey, wants protesters to urge the Union Township Board to take action against Vicky Knox when they meet next Tuesday night. Knox, a high school teacher. This is, and that's a public high school, isn't it? Union Township?
Yes.
That's a
yes,
public high school. Yes. Knox, a high school teacher and faculty advisor to a prayer group, came under fire last week after allegedly calling homosexuality, quote, perverted on Facebook and posting other negative comments about a school display celebrating lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender history month. Messages left for her were not returned, and a home phone number couldn't be located. A local lawyer brought the comments to the attention of school officials, who say they are investigating. So we covered what parents can do. And, I mean, you don't have a child in high school right now.
No, I don't.
So, to be clear, I was not out and gay in high school.
No, you were.
No, not until college. But let's do the hypothetical of I was out and gay in high school. What would your expectations be of the teachers? What would you want the teachers to be doing to support the students' experience in school? So we know that parents have to stand by and they need to do stuff. What expectations? You're a taxpayer in this town.
I believe the teachers have to stand by all of their students, no matter what. They have to. If the child is out gay or not out, but she feels, she has to stand and be supportive to the students.
Yeah. Not posting on her Facebook.
I thought I read something. I'm not really sure if it's true, but I thought that I read something this week about that particular teacher saying her Facebook had nothing to do with her teaching.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Mom?
Wrong. That's wrong.
We've actually talked about on this show this before, because this she is unfortunately not the first teacher to use her Facebook to do this.
She believed that that was her privacy and that was her right to do. But as long as she's a school teacher, she does not have that right to do.
Why?
Why? Because she has students under her who are listening to her, and that's not what anyone wants to hear from their teacher.
Yeah. There you go. Now, you have to understand, and you are, I've met you before, so I know how you operate in some ways, and I know that you can be perhaps incredibly self-deprecating, and that this next sentence you're not going to much agree with. But do you understand that it is a big deal for you as a parent of a gay male to be on this show and to be talking and to be proud? Like, that's a big deal. That's not the norm for everyone. You're just looking at me. It's a big deal.
I don't feel that it's a big deal for me.
Why?
I've had 14 years to adjust, if you want to say that, but I've adjusted many, many years ago, if it took any adjustment, which it did.
Yeah.
It absolutely did. You're the youngest of four children.
I am.
You took a different route.
I did.
And you will continue to take a different route in life, and that's fine. That really is fine with me. I wish you, like I wish the rest of my kids, everything good in life. So it's not a big deal for me to be supportive of you and to come here, because there's nothing I wouldn't do for any of my children.
But you're on the show.
That's good, I guess.
It is good. You're making a big difference in this world.
I hope so.
And your mother, you know your mother.
Who's the coolest, almost 93-year-old.
Yes. Would you ever have thought that, not just that she would have a gay grandchild, but that she would be as accepting as she is? I mean, you grew up with her.
Absolutely not would I think that she would be accepting. But I have to say, initially.
And not just accepting. She is embracing.
Initially.
Yes.
When you came out, she accepted it much quicker than I did.
That must have been weird.
It really was. And she put me in my place.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, well, she did. He is what he is. Those were her words.
Do you know I never knew that?
Mm-hmm.
She said that to you.
Yes, she did.
What'd you say?
You're right, I guess. You're right.
You have to listen to her. So I'm going to go see her tomorrow and thank her. I had absolutely no idea. Uh-huh. Wow. Alice Besson.
Said, get over it. He is what he is. We love him. That's it.
That's it. Look at this. Oh, this is making for such good radio. This is good. So, you know, so people will continue to come to you and say, my son or daughter is gay. What do I do? And you will continue to be that resource.
And I'll continue to say, love them and support them.
That's all it is.
Done.
Done. Mom, that was it. That was your radio interview. You've now been on this show is so gay. Do you want to do, we should do this every week.
I don't think so.
Maybe before the next 3 years go by?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what do you think the chances are that we can get Barry Schneck on the show later?
Chances are good. He likes to talk.
Okay. Terry Schneck, you are an inspiration to the masses. You are an inspiration to the masses. And more than that, you're an inspiration to me. Thank you for being on this show. It's so gay.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. These little town blues are melting away. I'll make a brand new start of it in old New York. If I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you, New York, New York. Never sleeps and find I'm a number one, top of the list, king of the hill, a number one. These little town blues. Start of it in old New York, and if I can make it there, I'm gonna make it anywhere. It's up to you, New York.
That was my mom, Terry Schneck, appearing for the first time on This Show Is So Gay.
And if you listen to that and you're thinking, all right, so what's the big deal? Ken, you're 34 years old and you came out 14, 15 years ago. Having your mom on your gay radio show, probably not that big of a deal. I have to tell you all, and obviously this is personal because it's my mom, that was a really big deal just for her, for the two of us, and I think for the entire gay community, but definitely for her and for the two of us. My mom is just not the type of person who puts herself out there like that. It doesn't mean that she is any less supportive. And indeed, as we were talking about, I love these stories of her telling me how these people come up to her because they know that she has a gay son. Perhaps I'm not the lowest profile gay son that she possibly ever could have had. But they know that she has a gay son, whether she's told them or they've heard about me or whatever it is. And she offers support and she offers advice and she's there for other people. But when it comes to talking about herself, it's just not what she does. So I could not be prouder to have had my mom on the show. And just wait, in a few, my dad's going to be on. That's something worth waiting for, I would say so. And can we at least take this opportunity, which we will because I'm talking right now, to extol the virtues of PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, PFLAG.org. What an incredible, incredible organization. And it is one of those organizations where if you go to the PFLAG website and you search for local chapters and you don't see one in your area, it's super, super easy to get one started. You definitely want to do it with somebody else. But I am telling you, if you are in a community without a PFLAG chapter, there are people living in your community who desperately want other people to talk to because their son or daughter or their brother and sister or their friend is coming out. And again, yes, of course, on the individual coming out, as my mom and I just talked about, it can be extraordinarily stressful. But it can also be a time of confusion and angst and stress for the family members as well. And we want to validate that because the more supportive that family members are, the more supported the person coming out is. So pflag.org. That is your shout out for that. So we're going to do a little bit more news before we turn the microphone over to my father. I'm telling you, broadcasting, Montvale, New Jersey. It's a whole new day. It's a whole new day for this show. It's okay. A couple really cool things happening. In Philadelphia, Philadelphia will soon be home to a health center geared exclusively to transgender people, though the specific site has not yet been released. The Morris Home will hopefully open next month, said the commissioner of Philadelphia's Department of Behavioral Health. The center will be city-funded and offer comprehensive health services for trans men and women. This is a huge, huge deal. We've covered this on the show before. I remember having Mara Kiesling on the show and talking specifically about the health risks for trans men and women who either are scared to come out to their doctors or their doctors are in no way trained and how to give the best possible care to their trans patients. So having a center that's focused on health for the trans community, very big deal, very big deal. And look forward to covering more on that story. We talked about this last week when Kathy Renna was on. You know, it really, I don't think that we could give enough time. We could do all our shows for a given year on Frank Kameny and not even remotely done this man justice for what he has done for the LGBT community. But wanted to follow up a little bit on what Kathy said on last week's show and stress that, yes, there is a group. Friends who worked closely with Frank Kameny are asking the LGBT and ally community, anybody, to contribute to a local LGBT-oriented charitable group to help it meet the cost of Kameny's funeral, which they say is expected to be held within the next 2 weeks. The group is called Helping Our Brothers and Sisters, and they can be found at helpingourbrothersandsisters.com. They have assisted Kameny for the past year or two. They've helped him meet basic household needs such as the delivery of groceries, assistance in paying utility and property tax bills, and providing transportation to and from community events. Kameny, as we said last week, as we can't say enough, was one of the nation's most prominent gay rights advocates. He died in his home in Washington on October 11th at the age of 86. Longtime Kameny friend and gay rights advocate Bob Wittick, CEO of Wittick Combs Communication, said friends and activists who have known Kameny for many years are developing plans for a Kameny funeral that they hope will be held in a public building in Washington. So if you are in a position, I'm telling you, anything would be helpful. Contributions can be made at helpingourbrothersandsisters.com or sent by mail to Hobbs, H-O-B-S, P.O. Box 53477, Washington, D.C., 20009. So again, if you're in a position, that would be, I'm sure, enormously appreciated. Over on the ex-gay front, it cracks me up that there even is an ex-gay front, but there is. The former proponent of ex-gay gospel, John Smid visited Chris Matthews on Hardball last night on Tuesday night to tell his story. He said he chose to remain married to a woman, but concedes he's attracted to men predominantly. He is now speaking out, saying he realized being gay is intrinsic and that he's not met anyone who has changed orientations, even when he was part of Exodus International, which is the most prominent, and you can't see me doing air quotes right now. By prominent, I mean more people have heard of it than others, but not prominent in a way that conveys any legitimacy. Exodus International, he was part of it, this John Smid. So, I don't know, you can really easily go on Amazon or just go on the interweb and read about how this ex-gay thing just doesn't keep for people. It spoils pretty quickly because it's not sustainable. But at the same time, we just have to pause right here and say, yeah, there are just so many folks who are flocking to the ex-gay movement because they're so desperate for an option, because they are being told by their family, their friends, their clergy, whoever, that, or themselves, for whatever they've seen in their lives and internalized homophobia in the media, et cetera, that being gay, of course, is a choice and you can change it and be ex-gay. And of what we're finding for the of course is that that's just not true. It doesn't keep. So the more and more folks that are coming out and saying this, the more we will make headway into telling people, look, this ex-gay thing doesn't work and we can't get rid of these organizations because they have a right to be there. But just as the LGBT and ally community has a right to tell people, this is not the option that you want to pursue. The option we want to pursue is, of course, building as supportive a community as possible. And so, again, it's like we just came full circle around pflag.org. My mom was just on the show. It's okay. Sorry. Can't really get over that. It's a really great thing. All right. We are going to take a break and play one more song. And then I feel like maybe we'll come back and have an entirely different family member on this show. It's so gay. Enjoy.
We'll do it all, everything on our own. We don't need anything or if I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world?
I don't quite know how to say
around our heads. I need your grace to reach.
All right, folks, and we are back. And as promised, we are joined by another guest. Hi, other guest.
Good evening.
What is your name for our listening audience?
Barry Schneck.
That is my father's name.
Yeah, I wonder why.
That's you.
Coincidence.
So I should take the opportunity to explain the music a little bit for tonight. We'll talk about our final song in just a few minutes. But I did play after my mother, Terry Schneck, your wife of 68 years, was on. She was 43, something in there. That she chose the song New York, New York by Frank Sinatra. Do you know that song, Barry Schneck?
Yes.
And would you say that that's a song that she enjoys?
Oh, yeah. She really looks forward to hearing Frank Sinatra.
She enjoys the Frank Sinatra. Because normally what we do, Dad, may I call you Dad?
Yeah.
Okay. Normally what we do is we ask the guest to pick the music and then say what that song says about them, which will prepare you for your section later on, because that's going to be... And you can't see, but my dad just put his hands on his head, because he knows what he chose, and you're going to laugh really hard when you hear it later. But let's go back a sec. What would you say? She's not here right now. She's off babysitting. What would you say Frank Sinatra's New York, New York says about Terry Schneck?
It says it reminds her of a place that she liked to be.
New York, New York.
You got it.
And that Frank, he was a character, right?
He could put his slippers under her bed anytime.
I am so uncomfortable right now. I can't even begin to tell you. That's so not where we're going with this. All right, now you, sir, have not been on the show for quite some time. And when I said that to you right before we went on the air, you said, this is my third time, which was not the question. It was the length of time. And how did you describe yourself? Do you remember from just a few minutes ago?
No.
Oh, that you're my very special guest.
Oh, yes.
You got that whole modesty thing going on. That's where I got it from, folks. So people ask, we get emails, and I know you want me to forward them to you, and I haven't been good about that, but people ask for temple updates, because for new listeners who've not listened in maybe the past, I mean, it's been at least a year, don't you think? It's been a while. For new listeners, my father was in Temple, and correct me if I get any of this wrong, was in Temple, and the rabbi signed into law anti-gay discrimination, and my father led a picket right there during the service and led all the people out of the temple onto the streets of
Wilco. That was a total of two. Me and one other. Yeah, I think you're exaggerating.
All right. Well, what actually happened was the rabbi, in his sermon, said something not so flattering about gay marriage, and my father waited. You waited until it was over, and then you got up and left.
Correct.
And a huge crowd followed.
One
person. Do you still talk to her?
No.
You haven't seen her since.
But we did get a phone call from another congregant who was very concerned and wired into the subject.
Okay. But I like the idea that she might not even have been leaving for that reason. You haven't seen her since.
She may have walked out permanently.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. And so subsequent to that, because we haven't covered this, the rabbi did call you at one point.
Yes.
And expressed concern.
Maybe we did cover that.
Yes, all right, so the rabbi called you. You would be the first to correct me on what we have covered here on this show. It's so gay, even though it's been a year. And anything else? Have we heard, has he covered any other LGBT content in any of his sermons?
None whatsoever that I know of. His thrust lately has been on intermarriage.
Okay. And for folks that don't know what intermarriage is outside of the Judaic community.
They're expanding the tent to cover all.
Gotcha. And that being the rainbow tent. We want it to be
the rainbow tent.
All right. Well, let me cover it. So this is so interesting. This is why I love doing this show. Since Mom and I talked just a few hours ago, and I know everyone's listening and thinking this all happened in the same hour, but it didn't. We spaced it out. I spaced my parents out throughout the day.
Yeah, we're very spaced out.
You're very spaced out. Really put his slippers under her bed? I'm still on that one. Scarred. You're scarring me during my own show, Dad. So since Mom and I talked about the teacher, did you hear about this? The teacher in Union County? Was it Union County that posted on her Facebook? Since Mom and I covered that a few hours ago, I don't know if you know Governor Chris Christie, who's, by the way, you're looking at my screen right now. I had a picture of Chris Christie on the screen. Okay. It took up the whole screen, and that's not a comment. I know. Nice. I'm just saying it was a very big picture. That's all I'm saying, Dad. Okay. I'm not commenting on his weight, which is considerable. So New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, he turned his frank talk. That's what he calls his talk, right? It's all about Chris Christie's frank talk. He turned his frank talk towards allegations that a high school teacher made anti-gay comments on Facebook, calling the incident, quote, disturbing. The Star Ledger reports that Christie, is that a big paper in New Jersey, the Star Ledger?
Second largest paper.
What's the largest? Is it the Record? Yes. The Bergen Record?
Yes.
Look at that. The Star Ledger reports that Christie commented on the matter involving Vicky Knox, a special education. Oh, do you know, I didn't even know that she was a special education teacher. No. That really makes it not. It's still bad, but really, last week it was, we talked about this before, what she allegedly said, even though, you know, she did say, because it was on her Facebook. That's what I'm going to say. Christie told the radio station, quote, I think that kind of example is not a positive one at all to be setting for folks who have such an important and influential position in our society. I'm really concerned about those kinds of statements being made. He added that he would, quote, like to see an examination of how that teacher conducts herself in the classroom, a nod towards his proposal. Oh, does he have a proposal to change the teacher evaluation process in New Jersey? He's got a lot. He cuts education, right? That's his deal?
He cuts funding, but he's also trying to make sure the cream flows to the top.
What's the deal with Chris Christie? He was going to run for president, it's then he said he's committed to Jersey.
It's not his time.
Is his time going to come?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. Will you vote for him?
Maybe.
Wow. Okay, we're going to cover that on a whole different show, but one without you here. Hey, I thought you'd be really interested in this. This is a great story. This is in there's a lot of stories coming out right now in advance of this Sunday's 27th annual AIDS Walk Los Angeles. And they're covering different people who participate in the walk. And this, the title of this story, A Kosher Kitchen Helps Convert Grief to Giving.
Isn't
that very nice? And so I want to tell people about this. After her son Nathaniel died of AIDS in 1989, Molly Peer threw herself into a number of volunteer efforts on behalf of gay men and lesbians. She also helped found Project Chicken Soup, a nonprofit volunteer organization that provides kosher meals for people throughout Los Angeles County living with HIV or AIDS. For Peer, the group's activities and other outreach efforts became a link not only to her son, but to hundreds of others. She said, quote, she's 91 years old. Quote, I can't even begin to tell you how many people I've helped be who they are, and she is participating in this Sunday's 27th annual AIDS Walk LA. Although she will be in a wheelchair, this will be the third time she's taken part in the fundraising event. How great is that?
Very commendable. I wonder if her matzo balls are hard or soft.
You know, every now and then, Dad, a guest says something. It's just not usually a relative of mine. You're like laying down now. Every now and then a guest says something and I don't really know what to do with it. Yes, so if someone in LA could get back to us on whether or not her matzo balls are hard or soft, do you have a preference? I'm not going there. All right, so that's it for Molly and her matzo ball soup. So Mom and I were talking earlier. Are you ready? Can we talk
personal?
You're ready? Do you want to talk personal?
No.
We still have many minutes left to go in the show, so I don't know where you think you're going. Well, it was really interesting. Do you know, I did not know until Mom said it, that Gran, soon-to-be 93-year-old Gran, yeah, who one would assume, just based on generational aspects, would not be accepting, much less the embracing grandmother she is, of a gay grandson, was actually someone who sat Mom down, or probably yelled in the phone, you need to just accept him. He is who he is.
Well, she yelled because she's hard of hearing, but that's besides the point.
She was being assertive. I love how you just put a whole meaning behind it.
No, I didn't know that either. That's very.
Isn't that a really nice story?
She never said that to me, but it wasn't necessary.
So now, do you have other people? Mom tells me all the time how she has other people coming and talking to her because she has a gay son who perhaps one could argue that I am not the lowest profile gay son. What does that laugh mean? So do you have other people coming to you?
Oh, all the time.
Tell me. You don't tell me these stories, do you?
It's
not really.
Between me and them.
Well, now it's between you and them and me and our listening audience. Because this is a really big deal. I said this between the segment with Mom and the segment right now, is that if folks are listening and thinking, well, whatever, it's you've been out for, do you know I've been out to you guys for close to 14 years now. It seems,
how time flies.
Isn't it how time flies? But I was saying, if you think that it's not a big deal, it is a big deal for someone like Mom, which I would love for you to comment on. It's a big deal for Mom to be on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's been avoiding you. The show.
You know, I have an edit button and I'm not scared to use it, Dad. I won't use it because that was funny and I think people are going to see where I get my twisted from. But it is a big deal. Anytime a parent, I mean, I'm not even saying anytime a parent goes on a gay radio show, but anytime a parent of a gay child is out and proud and puts themselves in a position where other people can come and talk to them and ask for support. So you've had that experience.
Yes.
And how is that for you? Because it's not always been the easiest process for everyone.
Sure it is.
Okay.
No, I mean, it hasn't been hard at all.
Yeah.
In mixed company, when certain jokes are said, you know, we make it a point of saying it's very inappropriate with us.
Good for you.
But other than that, you know.
That's really good. So now what advice do you have? Because obviously we're not at the point yet where a son or daughter comes out and it is universally accepted by any and all parents. So we get a ton of emails over at thisshowisogay@AOL.com from kids who are saying they're really struggling with their parents and what can we do? I don't know, you know, we can't call them here at This Show Is So Gay, but what would you say to parents who are struggling?
I mean, they need to find someone like us to talk to. They really do. And I guess the only way to do that is to set up a chat room or a network or a lifeline, call it if you will, on the phone. Someone they can pick up the phone to.
Yeah.
It's your son or your daughter, by definition. It's family.
It's family. And I provided hours of entertainment.
You still do.
Even right this second, I'm providing hours of entertainment. That's fun. All right, so we do have to talk about your musical selection for this evening. Are you?
I'm ready.
This is the part of the show, my father, where you tell our listening audience, and you can even do it in third person, you have a degree in psychology, do you not?
Yes, I do.
That's a little known fact. You actually have a degree in psychology.
It's a fact that we like to forget.
So this is the part where you tell everyone what your song selection says about Barry Schneck. It's a little self-analysis for our listening audience, okay? So the song that you... Don't sigh on my show. Roll your eyes. This is why I roll my eyes. This is where I get it from. So the song that you selected is a song by the artists Pitbull, Teekzy, and Dario G, okay? And the song is called Game On, and it's from the official 2010 FIFA World Cup album. Barry Schneck, what does Game On say about Barry Schneck?
It is just like what the title says. This is for the world. It relates to everyone.
It relates to everyone. It's a pretty kicking beat song.
Well, that helps too. It makes, you know, I need to increase my pulse in order to lose weight, but that's besides.
I don't, okay. I love you just the way you are, Dad. I love you just the way you are. All right, so this is the part where we tell everyone how to get in touch with us. Can I tell everyone how to get in touch with us? Not you. I'm not going to give out your phone number. It's the show, Dad. We're doing a gay radio show right now.
Fine.
Yes, okay. Well, if you...
Tell me. If I get anything of a personal nature, that you can forward it to my email address.
We would love to do that. All right, so please send my father and my mother an email saying that you loved having them on the show, and you send that email right on over to thisshowisogay@AOL.com. Every single email gets answered, and quite frankly, it's possible that even my father or my mother might answer the email if you send the right thing. But you know, you got to send an email for them to answer. Stroll on over, please, please, to thisshowisogay.com, and we're updating that this week with all of our past guests. You can listen to podcasts dating back all the way to our first show, which is 3 years ago this month. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
3 years ago. So you can listen all the way back. Don't listen to the first couple shows. It was pretty much a train wreck. But recently the shows have been great, so listen to those. And you can learn about all of our fun co-hosts. And I'm adding a page this week for Steve and Jen, who just...
special guest.
I should just add it my own page, just its own page for you. Special guest Barry Schneck. Just when you click on the top tab and you click on special guest, it's just going to be my father just staring at you and smiling. So yeah, go to theshowsogay.com, and of course go to the Facebook, and be careful what you're saying on Facebook, because if you're a teacher, you need to be careful. And my mom told you that, so that comes straight from Terry Schneck. Go to the Facebook, type in "This Show Is So Gay." Click like us, because we sure as heck like you. Dad, that was it.
Thank you.
That was as many minutes as you need to do. Now, this is a big deal. We're not done yet. I know, don't sigh, but this is the big finish. Do you know the tagline of the show? All right, I'll tell you the tagline. Have you ever listened to the show, like a show that you're not on? Okay. So, yes, this is a show that we do. We actually do other shows that you're not on. But the key phrase that you need to participate in, where you summon all the energy you have left for today, which I know is not much, the phrase that you need to tell everyone is "so gay." Okay, just keep that in mind for 2 seconds. Get out there, folks. Go do whatever it is that you do to use your voice to make a difference. If you've not called your parents today, I think it's time you called your parents. There's no way that you listened to this week's show and didn't think to yourself, I should call my parents. So use your voice, make a difference, start a chapter of PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, PFLAG.org. If there's not a chapter by you, start one. If there is a chapter by you, and there is one in Washington Township, New Jersey, go check that out, because they are doing great work over there. And as you're doing all these amazing things, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay? Thanks, Dad.
Mr. 305, Dario G, TK